My name is Matt Milner, and this is Locals Only. With that, we are ready to send it over to Studio 2A. So happy to be joined this week by Jeremy Michael Cashman. He's got a crew of great players in there with him, and a brand new album called The Mystery Bomb Sessions. They celebrated the release yesterday over at Chez, and they've got another show coming up at Borderlands. We'll talk all about that and a whole lot more, but first, let's hear some music from Jeremy Michael Cashman.
You stumble in and pull the pin on the mystery bomb. I see the fear and smell the sin, and now I'm almost gone. A lovely wreck, I hit the deck, and I shield my eyes. The ground explodes, and I suppose she's telling others lies. Come on. Collapse, they're just leaving me to crawl. The clouds roll in and she begins, yeah, to threaten that was all. The doubt creeps in and friends stepped in, I didn't take their calls. I now know why she helps you fly, so she can revel in your fall. Come on. The gate comes near, so give the lock a try. Well, it's just that, the aftermath, wind it up and say goodbye. Say goodbye, baby. And I don't even mind if you really try to break my heart. We'll be right back. double claves? All right, we got them double claves in the house. One, two, one, two, three.
Matt Milner. This is Locals Only, and I'm live in Studio 2A with Jeremy Michael Cashman. Jeremy, thanks so much for coming down.
Matt, thank you for putting up with us.
It's truly my pleasure. Why don't we do introductions? Everybody can let us know who they are and what they're playing tonight.
Well, I'm Jeremy Michael Cashman. I'm a Tucson resident of 12 and a half, 13 years. And I have three guys that played with us at Shays last night. One happens to be family. The other happened to be great friends. Take it around the horn, guys.
John Cashman.
Hey,
Let's. We're getting chippy on you.
Yeah.
Side.
All right. All right. One at a time. One at a time.
John, I'm Joel Fortin. I'm playing some percussion and different things here. Claves, cowbells, shakers, piece of sheet metal I have in my hand right now that comes from possibly some kind of AC unit. I found it in the hardware store. I'm not sure.
Well, actually, mine's not working. Did you pull it out of my house?
No, man. I've had this for a long time.
Craig Wagner, I play bass. Just here to help out some good friends. They're really awesome musicians to try and keep along here.
And I'm John Cashman, all the way from Bend, Oregon, the beer capital of the world. And I'm Jeremy's older brother, so I do have a little say-so in some of these affairs.
That's true. He keeps me in line.
There you go. Right. So you've got everyone in town because you had a show yesterday to celebrate the release of your new album, The Mystery Bomb Sessions.
We did, yeah.
And you've got another show coming up at the end of the week?
Yeah, we have a Borderlands gig, like a happy hour loungey kind of thing. We're going to have Joel and Craig and myself on that. John goes back to Ben tomorrow. We had the great Michael P. Nordberg on Oregon yesterday at Shea's. So along the way, we've lost a guy, gained a guy, but it's been a great couple days, and we'll look forward to being there Friday as well. So
perfect. So the Mystery Bomb Sessions, what are they? What are the Mystery Bomb Sessions? Where does that name come from?
Well, I mean, part of the idea was just the way the songs came about. Joel and John are really to blame. I mean, they probably don't want to take the credit, but they're to blame for the recordings.
Yeah.
Basically, I had all these jams between these two guys on my recorder at home, and I just thought, either I got to get rid of these things and dump them, or I got to try to step up and do something with them. So all the tunes on the Mystery Bomb session are raw jams that happened with just a guitar through this little Vox Pathfinder amp and them on drums. And from there, I had to write verses and choruses, and nothing's completely right. Some verses are two lines, and some verses are six lines. And instead of, like, turning them into official songs, I just wanted to turn the jams into pieces. And so
sure. They
kind of exploded, and it was a mystery to me what was going to happen with them. And I worked very quickly on them. As I always like to do, I don't like to stew over things at all. Mm. So I just kind of finished them off, sending them around one by one, and there we were. You know, it just kind of revealed themselves as songs, and it felt very satisfying for me to release these nine pieces that largely came out of just tinkering with musicians and people that I enjoy playing music with. So.
How often do you have the opportunity, or have you had the opportunity in the past, to write and create music in what I'll call in a purposeless way? And I don't mean that in a pejorative sense, but I mean without going in thinking, okay, it's time to write an album, or
right.
I've got a show coming up, I've got to work on songs. But the chance to really kind of let these songs emerge from the ether organically. What was that experience like, and how did it kind of shape the final product here?
I'm actually, if I'm quite good at anything, I'm kind of a passionate hack, and I'm quite good at trying to mold nothing into something.
Uh-huh.
I can't promise that the something is anything that, you know, is going to delight listeners or whatever. But that's the business I'm in. I come home from work, or before I leave for work, I got a little ditty in my head. I'll try to whip it out and kind of create it real quick and record it real quick and then get to work and I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I like to work very fast that way. It keeps me growing as a musician.
Sure.
And I don't look back on things and say, well, if I rewrote that or if I added this nice batch of chords on the bridge, I don't want to tinker with any of that. I want to keep moving forward, surprise myself along the way. For me, that's a process that I live in. It's a part of my daily life. And so the fun part about it was, though, is I had really interesting drum parts and percussion parts and stuff like that to work with. And but it is, yeah, it was very, very satisfying to work that way and to turn these things, to kind of like, you know, the bill turning into law kind of thing is how. And arguably the band probably last night and today and stuff, you know, this is where the songs really start to kind of take their full shape.
Sure.
And that's okay with me, you know. It's okay if tonight's versions are way better than what I've recorded, and it's okay with me if they're, you know, that they morph into what they become. And however they sound Friday night is okay with me. I'm not tied to anything. But, you know, yeah, it's just – and it's just a privilege to be able to work with my brother and Joel. They're just two of my favorite drummers ever. Mm-hmm. And they'll do anything or everything or nothing if they feel like the song requires it. And they're both just really great that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And particularly for a project like this that emerges, you know, in the way that this did, I imagine having that kind of chemistry with the players that you were putting together with makes a big difference as
Absolutely, yeah. I think we do have some anticipatory moments between us. I've worked with Joel a long time, and John is my brother. We kind of got that weird telepathy thing going there.
Yeah.
And Craig's new to the game, but man, he's a quick study, and he's put these songs under his fingers real quick, and he's turned them into his own, and I'm hearing bass parts come out of him that I arguably should have been on the record and would have made my wonky bass lines. It would have been much cooler to have his bass lines on there, but that's the nature of the game, and if that's, you know, that's the way it is. So some people might just say, you know, all I do is make home rough sketch demos, and there might be some truth to that, but to me, I like to complete them and move forward.
Yeah. So the album is available right now online, correct?
That's the only place it's available is on the Bandcamp JMC and his Wooden Hearts at Bandcamp. It's available for free download there. My email's on there. If anybody wants the hard copy CD, I'm happy to put one together for somebody and get it out to them.
Perfect, yeah. So Bandcamp, JMC, and his Wooden Hearts to be able to get a free copy of the record. And again, Borderlands coming up on Friday or Saturday?
Yes, Friday, 7 to 9. Okay. Yeah.
Perfect. So we're going to get back into our next set, and then we'll chat a bit more with Jeremy during our next break. But you're listening to Locals Only, live in Studio 2A with Jeremy Michael Cashman.
All right, we're here to make hits, boys. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. She walks in the room like first notes from her tune. Her melodies could take my heart away. There's some things I can't tell. Am I free or in her spell? The memories of what I once became. Sift through broken lives, looking for the line to help me as I try to rearrange. And in another world, I won't struggle to find the pearls. A map of love to help me through the rain.
Sheet metal solo. It's the great new sound, folks.
It sinks within. It hurts to be alone, so you're with him. The unseen marks he leaves upon your skin. We'll be right back. grass is fading, a cough's invading, with summer falling, the leaves are calling you, with time collapsing.
My name's Matt Milner. This is Locals Only, and I'm live in Studio 2A with Jeremy Michael Cashman in celebration of a new album available on Bandcamp, The Mystery Bomb Session. And we've got a little bit of a personnel swap here going on. We've got our two, our mighty Joel Ford heading over to the drum kit now. And
now you're on the clock.
There we go.
Oh, we got it. We got
there
it.
There we go.
We got it. Everybody okay?
All right.
Okay.
So, first of all, thank you all again for coming down tonight. One thing, Jeremy, that I was thinking about during the last set there is you made a reference during the first interview with sort of your process of, you know, each morning start working on a song, you'll come home, try to finish it off, try to work fast. Mm-hmm. What kind of volume are we talking about? How many songs are you working on in a given week, a given month?
Yeah, it's just part of my life. I mean, sometimes I get my own little idea. I'm at home watching Andy Griffith with the sound off, and I get a little idea on the couch, and I go into the room and start kind of fleshing it out.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's coming home, and I've got a cover in mind. I'm listening to whatever it is, a Roddy Frame record or something in it, and there's like a tune on there that I would think I want to have a go at. You know?
Sure.
And so I don't hold it to any kind of strict formula.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm definitely not like a prolific. I'm not writing original songs every night or anything
sure.
like that. But it is part of my life. I want recording to be part of my life. I want to come home, do something, mm-hmm. and have fun doing it. And I do make that a really, really, you know, it's such a pleasure. It's my favorite place to be. It's my favorite waste of time. So it's the way it is. But I would say, you know, during the week, there's always a few things kind of brewing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once we get things going, you know, I tend to finish things off very quick. I like to do songs in a session.
Sure.
You know, every time I hear the Ballad of John and Yoko, you know, they reference that as like that 7-hour session that John and Paul did. And that was mm-hmm. from start to finish. And that idea appeals to me that a song is done in a session.
Mm.
And I don't even like to come back and work on it anymore. I don't like to fiddle with it. In fact, I am the great deleter. And I've had other great artists like Lydia and Ali and people, friends of mine, come and record with me. And they know the shelf life of their song on my machine is not great. And so they have got to, you know, he's worked really, really well with that formula. We've done a session and stuff like that. And Andy C., who used to play bass for Joel and I together, same thing with his record. We made it in a day and a half, and we're done with it. And it's out the door,
mm-hmm.
never to be trifled with again. So that's kind of how I like to do it.
So what informs that approach? Is there a reason why you like to take that kind of snapshot approach to capturing things?
Oh, without a doubt. And some of my favorite records, you know, definitely have to mention like Jack Logan. He had this record called the Monday Night Recorders out of Athens, Georgia. And whoever came, they agreed to do 2-3 songs on Monday night. And if you came, you played something on the songs. Mm-hmm. They erased them, and went the next Monday, it was on to 3 more new songs.
Wow.
they did that for like a year, and then they picked their best 12 or 14 moments and put out the CD.
Huh.
And it was called, you know, the Monday Night Recorders or something to that effect. In like 2003, that record came out. Ever since that record got into my life, that's the kind of the idea that I like to run that way.
Sure.
Yeah. So that was the germ of that idea for me. But.
Yeah. And the songs that ended up on this album, were they written within a fairly condensed period of time, or were they just recorded in a condensed period of time?
No, they were written about as quick. Yeah. I mean, I tried to, you know, I'd be taking a tinkle in the restroom, coming up with the chorus, you know,
right.
And like going back to the mic and, you know, I hold myself to the same idea that John and Joel did with these songs. You know, we had a very quick moment. We captured a great energy.
Yeah.
I do the same with my own voice and my own same with the guitar parts and things. I don't overthink things.
Uh-huh.
And I won't go there.
Sure.
I like to keep it that way. And we're that way live, too, I'd like to point out, too. We uh-huh. try to keep things very live. And Craig coming in and playing bass, I mean, that's the beauty of it, is that I'm not tied to moments.
Sure.
And that allows Craig to come and bring his own sense of bass style into this and inject it, rather than him trying to approximate what I did on the record or this and that. And he brings his own vibe. And that's, you get a great yield of musicians you work with live if you're willing to open up like that and not be tied to, well, you know, listen to the record. And
sure.
Joel and John, play it the way we did it on the record.
Right.
And like that last song's a great example. It gets a lot larger than the recording does, and that's just happened probably from yesterday to today. So, you know, we just embrace that and embrace it all. And the mistakes, the good times, whatever.
So, and this one's for anyone else in the room, for John or Craig or Joel, whoever can grab a mic. Is he just paying lip service to this idea, or does he practice what he preaches in terms of not only the approach to writing and recording these songs quickly, but also the openness with which he has welcomed all of you into creating these songs?
He practices what he preaches, for sure. I love going over there. Like he says, once he's done with the song, there's times where he deletes it off the machine, you know, as soon as we're done.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to work with him. He's got me spoiled for working in a studio setting, just because it's in his house and it's in his room, and he's got great gear, and it's just so much fun. And the communication's always there, and it's just such a relaxed environment. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
John, you concur?
Oh, I concur. I've worked with you a long time. I know the drill, and that's one of the fun things about playing with you is that you know, we decided to take a song in a different direction. You know, some guys want it to be scripted the way it is, and if we feel it, something happens spontaneously. That's the way real music should happen. And that's why I enjoy playing with you so much. You know how I feel. So
thanks.
Enough said.
And Craig can concur that the R word.
Yeah.
What's the word that I never want to hear?
You read.
You can say it on the air once, but I don't want to hear it again.
No, he doesn't rehearse.
All right,
that's definitely
on.
That's it.
That's it.
That's on the FCC banned list for tonight. So, once again, the album is available up on Bandcamp. If you go to JMC and his Wooden Hearts, that Bandcamp page.
Yep.
And on Friday from 7 to 9 over at Borderlands, there'll be a performance of some of this material, but in a little bit of a different arrangement as well.
Oh, yeah. It's always a little loungier, a little bit more moody in there. Mm-hmm. I always get more moody in there with the vanilla porters.
There you go.
But, you know, you know, we try to serve each room, and depending on the crowd, if we're able to get away with it, we like to move air. But,
yeah.
You know, we'll try to do our best to not chase people out of there either. So.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's it.
So yesterday, the sort of release show, it was over at Che's, and I'm curious, when you're playing that space, what are you trying to capture? What are the defining principles for the performance when you're in a space like that?
I mean, for us, I think our goal was there. We kind of enjoyed, we talked about it afterwards, we enjoyed being outdoors. It felt like we could get away with a bit more. If we were indoors, everything might have got bottled up.
Uh-huh.
And so I was able to, you know, play my 12-string a little brighter and a little bit more prominent. And John was able to certainly play drums a little bit more open, free.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Michael's organ was able to really swell up nice. And, you know, we try. I mean, it was a full patio, and plus when you get a lot of bodies in front of you, that helps.
Oh, yeah.
You can move a little bit more air. If it's just an empty space, then you got to, you know, it's just you and your echo.
Right.
But, no, it was a really, really fun night, and yeah, that was our expectations for that. I mean, the expectation was we were just there surrounded by so many friends and people who have supported us over the years, my coworkers and friends and musical people that I've worked with in this town. Mm-hmm. It's so special to me that they, you know, continue to support a passionate hack like myself. It means a lot to me. It really, really does. And in fact, you know, Michael Serpe kind of helped scare up the gig at Shays. And, you know, and I'm just surrounded by wonderful people who support me and what I'm doing. And it means the world to me. I mean, all these guys have just been wonderful contributors. Look forward to working more with Craig in the future. And, you know, Joel is, anytime he's swinging by the house, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Anytime John's in town, we always go to work on something, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just wonderful. We don't get to do it enough.
Yeah.
That's probably what it comes down to, but, yeah.
Well, we're going to go into one more set here. And, you know, Jeremy, if we have time, if we had time to queue up one recorded track, what would you want me to get queued up?
Oh, well, it'd be fun to do something that maybe we didn't... maybe Washed Away, the last track.
Okay.
Actually, that's actually for my mom.
Okay.
I think it'd be kind of nice to put that on the air.
Perfect. All right. So I'm going to kind of sneak on over, but you play for as long as you want to play, and then if we've got time, I'll squeeze in one more.
All right.
Perfect. Sounds good. All right.
Thanks,
guys. So thanks for listening to Locals Only, and I'll see you next week, but there's plenty of Jeremy Michael Cashman left here in Studio 2A.
Oh, yeah, we have a shout-out. Can we do a quick shout-out?
Yeah. Shameless, huh?
All right, go for it. Louder.
Dad, hope you're in bed pretty soon.
All right. And a shout-out to Lottie, the wonder dog.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
No Django?
Oh, there's enough Django hair in my pedal board. He's my dog, Django. He goes with me everywhere with this pedal board. That wah pedal doesn't work because there's so much hair underneath it. But. All right, are we ready? Maybe some shakers, claves, find something? Joel's got this big old shaker bag, too.
got a switch guitar, so we'll try not to have any dead air. But somebody's going to have to say something riveting real quick here. Anyway, thank you to Matt and the entire crew here. Everyone was super nice. They gave us all separate monitor volumes and our headphones. Duncan twiddled some knobs to the point of hurting his arms. Everyone was great to us here. We had such a good time. This is the way to do things, and it's been a pleasure to be able to get in here and do this. So this is the last tune that we're going to do tonight. If there's time, Matt, we'll send it over to you. This is Love It Found Me, and let's do it. Like fire on broke.